would you say you do here?
Monday, Monday, can't trust that day. Monday, Monday, sometimes it just turns out that way. Oh, Monday morning, you gave me no warning of what was to be. Oh, Monday, Monday, how could you leave and not take me?
I have people skills. I am good at dealing with people. Can't you understand that? What the hell is wrong with you people?
Every other day of the week is fine, yeah. But whenever Monday comes,
so if I were to tell you, Mr. Greg Gunderson, that if I had a widget in my hand, a physical widget in my hand, that I wanted someone 3 hours away to receive that widget in a timely manner, and I'm willing to pay you to deliver that widget to that person 3 hours away, does it make any logical sense to you that the quickest way to get that widget to that location, which is 3 hours away, is a 11-hour circular path all the way around that location and then circle all the way back to that location?
Why do I feel like we're talking about the U.S. Postal System?
We're talking about just in general the process of delivering a package in mail, which there's a lot of smart people in this world, and I guarantee you there's at least five that if they paid them enough money, they could sit down and they could find a better way. They could just find a better way that a package to my son in River Falls doesn't go to Oakfield, but Minneapolis, and then back to River Falls 5 days later.
No.
There has to be, I know that's the system that's in place now, but there has to be a better way to do this.
But you mean something different when you say better, Joel. You say better and you mean faster and more efficient and without destroying the things I send, you know?
Yeah.
They
yeah.
say better and they mean more profitable for the shareholders.
Yeah.
These two things cannot coexist. They never will. And maybe one day we'll learn.
There's few things in life that are more entertaining and frustrating at the same time than hitting that track the package thing on your computer and seeing where your computer goes from out for delivery to back at some other location.
Yep.
I understand there's a lot of packages and sometimes they get lost, but we all know what's happening with that. All right, so I just had to get that off my chest here. This morning, how are we doing today, Mr. Gunderson?
I'm great.
It was a good night last night for the Packers. It had all the makings of not being a good night there for a while, especially at halftime.
Yep.
But the Packers, they just held in there. What, McManus missed two field goals, was
McManus
it?
McManus missed two.
Missed a couple field goals.
Yeah, and that was ugly.
It was kind of shoddy there a little bit, but when it came right down to it, it came down to the fact that the Steelers had early opportunities. They kicked three field goals early. It's not a great offense. This is not a good defensive team, and the Steelers and the Packers ran through it. 35-25, the final. That tells you, when you look at the score, just like, ooh, that was a shootout. It wasn't a shootout, and it didn't even feel like it was a shootout at all.
It was a shootout in the end of the second quarter, and then once the Packers took the lead back, it was over. But the process of losing the lead and then gaining it back there, basically the second quarter and the early third, that was like, hey, we're playing Aaron Rodgers right now. And, like, I felt like Aaron Rodgers was on the other side of the field. I'm watching him. You know what's scary is, and it's something I never got to experience until yesterday. You've gotten it dozens of times. When Aaron Rodgers steps up to the line and he kills the play It's like, okay, quarterbacks kill the play all the time, but when Aaron Rodgers kills the play, that means he saw a very particular thing, and it might mean he's worried about the first play that was called not working, but I'm more worried that he knows the second play has a dagger in there somewhere, you know? It's more than just the first one wasn't the better one. It's that the second one's a really good one, or Aaron Rodgers is going to make it. And there was one play in particular where the Packers dropped a safety down into the box to play the run, and Rodgers, I don't even know if he communicated with DK Metcalf. Metcalf just kind of shaded his route to the inside a little bit right into that wide open gap. And I was like, yeah, I'm pretty sure Rodgers and Metcalf just both improvised the same thing at the same time.
Right.
Like, I mean,
when a second or third year quarterback does that, steps up to the line and you hear them changing the play, you're thinking to yourself, well, you know, this may or may not go well for us because this is a second or third year quarterback. And this is what the coaches have taught me, that when I see this, I should do this.
Yeah.
But Aaron Rodgers is working on, what, 20 years or whatever years of experience he has. He's working far beyond the knowledge of most quarterbacks because he's having flashbacks to the NFC conference title game or something where this play, he's got a recall that, you're right, to the opponent is just like, uh-oh, what have we done here? What have we done?
And there's also that Aaron does that maybe better than anybody else. You know, you've got the Mahomeses and the Bradys who have done that extraordinarily well. But, I mean, there's a video from, I think, 2011 where Aaron's talking about what he's thinking about immediately pre-snap and what he's seeing the defenses do and what that might mean. If he sees one guy take a step, that might mean six different things, but he knows based on tape that it's most likely to be this thing. But there was one particular moment that I'm talking about was he stepped up to the play. He gave one cadence. He said, green 19. And then immediately somebody wiggled. I don't know what happened on the defense, but Aaron basically went green 19, can. Like whatever happened, he basically said, you could tell, he said to himself, if this one person does this one thing, we need to go to the other play. And he saw it immediately. So it sounded like green 19, can it. Like in half a second, he saw, whoops, got to go to the other one.
Yeah.
And that's what scares me about Aaron Rodgers. Like if you make a mistake, he sees it.
Yeah.
Oh, did you see him swearing at the camera? Did you see?
I can't believe.
I was like, I looked at my dad and I said, I'm pretty sure that was a. And I was like, those are some premium swear words.
Aaron Rodgers does not have a great team around him. The Packer defense is good. The defensive line might be one of the best in football with Micah Parsons. And so they put pressure on him. The Steeler defense has not been good all year. But Aaron Rodgers, I think I think he's better than I thought he was going to be this year, because if you give him a little breathing room, he's making the throws. He's not bouncing the ball at people's feet when he's got time to throw. But the Packer defensive rush, when you can get to the quarterback with four guys and drop seven, I mean, it's hard.
It's really hard
when you got seven guys defending basically four receivers that are out there, and that's what the Packers do. And Micah Parsons just has the ability, as the game gets deeper and deeper, he seems to get stronger and faster.
Yes, because he doesn't tire as quickly. And let's crack that nut open just a little bit further, because I think that bears repeating. If you can get pressure when you rush four, it's a completely different game plan. Jeff Hafley sitting there, okay, four guys get pressure, I have seven guys to cover five receivers at the most.
Right.
Let's think about that. It's simple math. You've got five linemen. You've got one quarterback. Okay, there's six guys removed from the play, and between tight ends, running backs, and receivers, you've got five. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, if we can get pressure with four, we've got seven. And even if you've got that mobile quarterback, even if you've got that Colin Kaepernick that's going to gash us because man coverage means the quarterback's often left alone unless you've got a robber or a spy, well, we win. We just have the advantage on every defensive play. And so that's why we're enjoying probably something we won't get to see often again in the future. If we don't capitalize on these next couple years, this year, next, maybe a third season, that's the window. The window is very clearly open right now.
It is. It definitely is. And I think we're learning even more so this year that every single week in the NFL is an island. It is.
Yes.
It's just, I mean, the Packers are 5-1-1, but the way that the NFL has gone this year, I mean, the Packers could lose a couple in a row, and the NFL would go, well, that's football. Yep. That's football. Because you saw the Dolphins go to Atlanta. Atlanta was feeling a little bit good about themselves. They threw in Kirk Cousins out there. But the Dolphins have been horrible.
Yeah.
And they go to Atlanta and whoop them, 34-10. The Jets get their first win. Bengals, they're feeling good about themselves. Joe Burrow, we don't need Joe Burrow. We got Flacco. We're good. We're going to go out there. We're going to rip you up. And the Jets go in and get their first win of the year, people calling the worst team in football. They basically kind of put a serious dent in the Bengals' chances of being a playoff team. So you had that all across the board. Then you had the Baltimore Ravens at home without Lamar Jackson. You're thinking, well, this is Chicago's chance to go 5-2. This is going to be, I mean, the Baltimore defense has been horrible, and the Bears go in there and they can't get anything done. They had 6 points through three and a half quarters. That was it.
A lot of teams with momentum lost a lot of it this weekend. I mean, the Giants at Eagles, not a big surprise there, but of course, with the Scadaboo injury, that was horrifying.
Hopefully
he heals up well. The Bills 40-9 over the Panthers, but you're not going to hear much conversation about that. And why? Because the Bills don't beat winning teams. They beat the stinky cheese. If you're approaching Limburger levels of stank, watch out. Buffalo's coming for you. And, like, they can't beat anybody good right now. At least they haven't so far.
Yeah, the Cowboys give up 40 again for the fifth time, I think I saw this year.
Yeah.
Yep. So their defense is not good enough to be a playoff team. Tampa Bay, I think, is right now, and Philadelphia is going to, until they really show more inconsistencies. But Tampa Bay is 6-2. They went on the road, beat a bad Saints team, but a road win's a road win. Tampa Bay is going to be Tampa Bay, Green Bay, Philly right now, kind of the big three, right?
NFC? Yeah. Baker had a bit of an ugly day yesterday, and they still got the win. So I like Buccaneers for a win ugly team. Also, I am not going to completely count out Dallas because they might have the best offense in the NFL right now. Javonte Williams is playing better than he has since his rookie season. George Pickens and CeeDee Lamb, like Brian Schottenheimer, their first-year head coach, is clearly doing exactly what he wanted to do when he was game planning this offseason. And he's unlocking players. That's when you see multiple players playing better than they ever have before, especially if they played for other teams. Like George Pickens isn't just a, hey, go play ballet down the sideline and win the battle. He's like actually gaining separation with quality, smooth route running now, which he didn't do in Pittsburgh.
I'm
kind of high on them still. I like them for a wild card dark horse, maybe. But and by the way, it's been NFC all season. NFC, 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 except for the Colts and the Patriots. Well, now the Colts and the Patriots are part of a three-team combo in the AFC. The AFC was 6-0 against the NFC yesterday.
Yeah.
What the heck happened? Mm-hmm. Everybody got lax. The AFC got hungry and the NFC got lazy.
And I mentioned the top three, of course. Let me adjust that when I said that, because I erred. Obviously, Detroit is in there, too. But you look at the seven teams that would make the playoffs if the season were to end today. You got the number 1-7, the Packers, the Eagles, the Buccaneers, the Seahawks, the Lions, the Rams, 49ers. So you have a situation where you could have teams like you could have a San Francisco going to Tampa Bay, and I'd say in the first round. That's a 7-3, or San Francisco at Philly. And you got a situation where the 7 seed might even be favored to win that game. So you got 7 legitimate playoff teams that all could, all those teams that I mentioned right there, maybe cross out Seattle. I think we're at right now at the point of the season where Green Bay, Pittsburgh, Tampa, Detroit, the Rams, San Francisco, any of those teams in the Super Bowl, not a big story.
No, and actually, even the Seahawks. The Seahawks are having a historic season by their offensive production, which has kind of come out of nowhere because they lost some pieces.
I'm having Sam Darnold rejection syndrome, though. So
yeah,
right?
I can hear
right.
that.
I can.
But what I love about this, Joel, if you look at that chart, is of 16 NFC teams, we're about exactly halfway through the season now after week 8, and look at the bell curve. You've got the Packers there at the top with 1 loss, and then right in the middle at number 9 out of 16, the 500 team. There's only one team in the NFC that's 500 right now. It's the Panthers at 4-4, and they are ranked 9th by record. And from there, you've got 3-win teams and then 2-win teams and then the Saints. So we've got this very even distribution of talent. With the start of the season, it looked like the NFC was going to be basically alone. You know, if you're an AFC team, just take a day off. The NFC is going to dominate this year. But that flipped. this, if that continues next week, all of a sudden the NFC is going to look a little deficient. Could you scroll up, actually? Could we take a look and see if they've got an even distribution like that? Number 9, yeah, kind of the same. The AFC is actually looking a little top-heavy now because they've got multiple 5-win teams and a 4-win team nestled above them because of divisional tiebreakers.
I'll stick with my theory, though, that we've still got 9 teams playing for 7 spots in the AFC. Everybody from 10 on down, I say, is done. The Bengals, the Raiders, the Ravens, the Browns, the Dolphins, the Jets, the Titans. They're all not going to make the playoffs. They're all done. They're all. But in the NFC, I can only eliminate 3 teams right now, the Cardinals, Giants, and Saints. If the Commanders win tonight against the Chiefs, all of a sudden the Commanders, but look at the Commanders go. Yeah. So they have a chance tonight against the Chiefs to kind of make a statement tonight.
Kind of, but if they flop, I'll tell you what, the Commanders have a suitable defense for what the Chiefs are bringing them. That said, it depends on what mood they're in. They've got suitable players, but the Commanders are in an interesting spot. They had a really good year last year, and it turned into a decent start this season. But when Daniels got hurt in Game 2 against Green Bay, since then they've been kind of reeling, looking like a Muhammad Ali opponent still trying to keep his feet.
It's like a quadruple dagger for Viking fans this year. Not only is your team suffering, but the guy, Danny Dimes, you got rid of, which is legitimate. They should have got rid of him, but he's leading the Indianapolis Colts, and he's on his way. There's MVP talk around Danny Dimes, for gosh sakes. Come on.
I think you mean Indiana Jones?
Indiana Jones, yeah.
DJ himself.
And then you got Sam Darnold, who's continuing to play just as good as he did for Minnesota with Seattle. We'll see if that playoff nervousness kicks in once the playoffs come around. And then you've got, of course, the Vikings suffering with J.J. McCarthy, who is hurt, and Carson Wentz, who I think they reattached actually his left arm to his body after that game on Thursday.
Something like that, yeah.
But J.J. McCarthy era begins for the Vikings in Detroit on Sunday. That's always a nice place to start when you play at one of the better teams in the conference.
Yeah.
Just throw them out there to a top defense and let them go with that recovering high ankle sprain. It's not good news for the Vikings right now, but like we've said before, Gray, it's week to week. We could be sitting here again next week at this very same time, and we could be talking about a Packer game that didn't go right and a J.J. McCarthy miraculous comeback, and all of a sudden just flip the pillow over from cool to hot, and it happens every week to about 8 or 10 teams.
And it's one of my favorite parts of the that's what makes it fun, you know?
Yeah,
And it's also like, I know I convert it into frustration. I look at the talking heads and like, you really believe that these, like, the things that they disagree on. That said, I get it. It's the business they're in. But you want my most honest take? It's the same every week. And it is, I have no idea. I have no idea. I've got a good idea, but it means nothing. And that's why you don't revisit what you said last week. As a rule, if you talk about sports, you don't talk about last week. Unless you were very, very right. And if you were wrong, you talk about next week.
Jets and Dolphins had no business winning this week. Just no business at all. Vegas won a lot of money on that.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of money on that, with people betting the other way. Other half of the gray area will include some non-sports stuff. I see you threw in a topic here that I'm interested to see what did you?
Yeah, there's one.
Okay, all right. I thought that was you, but I have a bad memory. I thought it was me last week.
There's one in there.
So we'll delve into some non-sports stuff here in the gray area for a Monday morning here on 98Q on the other side of the news.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Trump is now in Japan, where he will meet the new prime minister for the first time. She's the country's first woman prime minister. Plans are for the two leaders to discuss trade. Later this week, trade talks with China will be held as President Trump's tour of Asian countries continues. Hurricane Melissa has grown to a powerful Category 5 storm as it approaches Jamaica. ABC's Aika Jachi is in Kingston and has been talking to tourists.
How am I going to get home?
With all major airports now closed on the island, many tourists suddenly finding themselves stuck, caught in the path.
They are blocked out flights all week.
We spoke with Donnelly Gordon, an American visiting from Atlanta, who has been desperate to get off the island since Friday.
Officials say as much as 40 inches of rain could fall in Jamaica. Government shutdown continues. Now the Agriculture Department is warning that the nation's supplemental food program will not be funded past this weekend. This is ABC News.
State and local news with News Director Austin Brume on 98Q Country.
Civic Media News is brought to you by Minocqua Chevrolet, your hometown Chevy dealer now 100% locally owned. Built on trust, dependable service, and real community values, visit them on Highway 51 South or at MinocquaCars.com. Cleaned out your medicine cabinet but missed Saturday's drug take-back day? No worries. You can safely dispose of your unused meds at one of Wisconsin's permanent drug drop boxes on your schedule. You can find a collection site near you at dhs.wisconsin.gov. Price County's drop boxes are at the Park Falls Police Department and the Price County Safety Building. November 1st, from 2 to 4 p.m., it's the third annual Lugerville Trunk or Treat. Be sure to bring your little ghouls and goblins to Lugerville for candy and fun. This will be taking place at Crane Chase Bar and Grill, Flambeau Sports General Store, and Goebel South Fork. If you're interested in donating or participating, you can contact one of the businesses. They want people to decorate their vehicles at all three locations. Once again, this is taking place November 1st from 2 to 4 p.m. over in Lugerville. Wisconsin could have a state microbe, Isabella Nieto reports.
A bill proposed in Madison last week would add a type of bacterium to the list of official state symbols, like the state flower, state fish, and state soil. Lactococcus lactis is a bacterium used in cheesemaking, including cheddar, camembert, roquefort, and colby, which lawmakers have previously tried to make the state cheese. A plant pathologist at UW-Madison says Wisconsin has a, quote, microbial economy. And in addition to cheese, the growth of alfalfa, digestion of hay by cows, beer, sauerkraut, and bread are all products of microbial processes. For Civic Media News, I'm Isabella Nieto.
I'm Austin Bermain. This has been Civic Media News on 98Q Country. For more news, visit 98QCountry.com or civicmedia.us.
Minocqua Chevrolet is now 100% locally owned and proud to serve the Northwoods with reliable service and hometown values. Mark Biesterfeld of Minocqua Chevrolet is giving back for Breast Cancer Awareness Month. During October, he's donating $100 from every vehicle sold and $5 from every oil change to help fight breast cancer. Right now, select 2025 new Chevrolet vehicles are priced below GM employee pricing. Wear your pink proudly and hurry. Offer ends October 31st at Minocqua Minocqua Chevrolet on Highway 51 South or at MinocquaCars.com.
The Packers defeat the Steelers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports from Pittsburgh, where the Packers came back in the second half to win 35-25 over the Steelers. Wide receiver Christian Watson had four catches for 85 yards in his first game back after suffering a torn ACL in January. The defense sacked Steelers quarterback Aaron Rodgers three times. Micah Parsons.
Guys made plays when we had to make plays, which was huge, and we need that. We need that every week. It's great to have Christian back, honestly, and just everyone else just coming in. Like, I can't tell you how appreciative I am of the guys. Everyone who felt like they was having a bad game, like, we just rallied around each other.
NBA, the Bucks suffered their first loss of the season, 118-113 in Cleveland to the Cavaliers.
You know, it's so funny. We shoot the ball so well. I just thought we missed shots we made. And then the fouls, I thought, were the difference in the game.
That's Bucks head coach Doc Rivers. With Sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Over 30 years, Lynn Stunkel has had his mind in the gutter. Literally. As the owner of Complete Rain Gutters, he knows gutters inside and out. Call 715-499-4216 or visit CompleteRainGutter.com for your free quote today. Having trouble balancing your books? Fear not. MVB is here. Maine's Virtual Bookkeeping brings affordable, secure, stress-free service right to your screen. No suits, no pressure, just solid numbers that make sense. Whether you're behind, overwhelmed, or just tired of guessing, MVB has your back. Call 813-562-1839 today. That's 813-562-1839. Maine's Virtual Bookkeeping, making your numbers behave so you don't have to. Visit mainsvrbookkeeper.com now for all your accounting and bookkeeping needs. Get control, stay focused, and let MVB handle the math.
We look closely at all the data. We pore over test results. But what we see is you. We see what makes your smile widen and your eyes brighten. Even as we study breakthrough research and implement the most advanced technologies, what we see is how we can use it to serve you and your well-being. Healthcare is a lot of things, but the best care is human. Aspirus Health. What we see is you.
$5,000. That's the average amount of money people in the U.S. are now spending on gas in a year. $5,000. That's crazy. If you drive, you have to download Upside, the free app that gives you cash back every time you get gas. That's right. You can earn real cash back with Upside just by buying the gas you're already buying. You can literally start earning cash back today.
I use Upside every time I fill up, and I've already made around $200-$300.
You're putting gas in your car anyway. Why not get real cash back? If you like free money, download Upside.
I'm saving the cash I earn from using Upside to help pay for a vacation later this year.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code AIRPORT25 to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code AIRPORT25 for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code AIRPORT25 for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my site softer?
Can I make my site firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. Enjoy personalized comfort for better sleep night after night. And now, max out your savings. The more you buy, the more you save on beds, bases, and more. Plus, get free home delivery on any smart bed with base. Limited time. Check it out at a Sleep Number store near you or at sleepnumber.com today.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to the mid to upper 50s for a high this afternoon. Tonight, there may be a sprinkle or two. Otherwise, partly cloudy. We'll drop to the mid 30s for a low. Tomorrow, scattered showers with a high right around 50. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 34.
Joel, you won't believe the outrageous thing that LSU just did. You won't believe it. You will not believe the outrageous move that LSU made.
Please pay me a lot of money not to ever work again. Please.
The scandal, the LSU slams head coach Brian Kelly. They slammed him.
$54 million. Please. Could you imagine if you showed up to work today, folks, no matter you're at the school, you're at Weather Shield, you're at BW Paper Systems, and your boss walks up to you and says, "Hey, Bob, I'm going to write you a check here, $54 million. I don't ever want to see your face around here again."
Here, I'm riffing on headlines here. Here's a better one. Does Brian Kelly still work for LSU? All caps, 3 question marks. That's my headline. Are you clicking that article, Joel? You going to click it?
I just don't get it anymore.
So Joel and I are kind of talking about two different things here. LSU, the 34-14. He's got the second highest win percentage among power teams since 2022, and they fired him because he lost the big game. But one of the topics today for the gray area was something that just snuck under my skin this past weekend. It was a news outlet, not any of the ones you think of when I say a news outlet, none of those three-letter super political ones, but they talked about this outrageous thing that happened. And it was to that tune of, you won't believe this outrageous thing that this person did. And I was like, you know what? I'll never hear about this outrageous thing that this person did because I refuse
to click.
I refuse. Like, I am developing nausea. When I see stuff like that, when I see like the outrageous whatever or the unbelievable or the like all that stuff, like, okay, if your news headline has a feeling buried there in the headline, it's like, all right, I'm going to go watch paint dry. Like, I think we could find some common ground on this because it does bother me a lot because, you know, I had 2008. I finished eighth grade in 2008, which means that I started ninth grade in 2008, which means I started civics class with Gary Kadlicek in 2008. And Gary Kadlicek had been teaching civics class since at least the 1970s. So 40 years. And I went back to my dad's high school yearbook. And in my dad's high school yearbook from when he graduated high school in 1975, there is this gorgeous picture of Gary Kadlicek. Sorry, Gary, I know that's a weird way to refer to the picture, but you have a great haircut in that picture. And Mr. Kadlicek is standing there talking to his class. He's got kind of a finger up in the air, like, there's one thing I want you to remember kind of thing. And it looks just like what I saw when I was a freshman in high school, but it was from 1975. So I thought, this is really cool. But the caption of that picture blew my mind. And it said, civics teacher Gary Kadlicek acquaints his freshman class with the library. And that sentence blew my mind because guess what I did my first week of civics 40 years later with the same teacher? We spent that whole first week acquainting ourselves with the library. Mm-hmm. And in that time, we learned how to spot things like, hey, this website's not actually trying to inform you. Or this website is actually paid for by somebody who's involved. You know, like, this website is biased. This website is. And back then in 2008, .gov meant that it was actually a government website and nobody else. And .org meant it was a nonprofit and nobody else. Like, those rules have gone out the window. But the people who taught me how to spot bad sources have now spun around 15 years later and they hit share on everything on Facebook. And it's like, here's this outrageous thing. And here's an AI picture of Jesus crossed with a shrimp. Like, what are we doing here? What are we doing here?
See, online journalism has become the clickbait type of thing where they want to get you to click. It has become this. It has become that they will give you information that is not necessarily untrue, but they're giving you information that is either negotiable or just not telling you what they don't want you to know. And that's kind of what the news sites are becoming too. I'll admit I go on Fox News, I go on CNN news websites, not a lot, but I go on there once in a while, and I read headlines and I say to myself in the back of my mind, what they're saying in this headline is not true, but it's not telling the whole story.
Yeah.
It's not telling the whole truth of the story.
They're so good at it too, because
oh my gosh,
what they'll do is they'll shape what they say so that you draw a conclusion from it. Like, and they know what conclusion you're going to draw, but they never say that thing. You know, let's say that it's about politician A and there's a rumor that politician A, you know, cheated on his wife or something. I'm just randomly grabbing total nonsense. But they'll never say that in the article. And they'll never even say that politician A allegedly has been unfaithful. They'll just present three paragraphs worth of seemingly disconnected info, and every single person who reads it will conclude, oh yeah, politician A cheated on his wife. Yeah. But because I, the newspaper, did not say that explicitly, you can't take me to court for defamation or libel or anything like that. And it's like, okay, so now I disagree with what I see, so I raise my hand and it's like, okay, that smells kind of bad. Well, now you're the person who didn't question it and you feel like I'm arguing with you, but I'm not. I'm just pointing out that headline might not have been written in good faith with all the details in mind. And suddenly we're arguing about something that doesn't even benefit you in the first place.
And the problem is so many times these major news websites will put those headlines out there with that information. And if you want to go in and say, okay, I want to see if this is actually true, and you click on it, a lot of times it will take you to a subscription where the information, you have to pay to get the rest of the information. Most people will not even do that. They'll just click out of that. Or like you said, it goes to a generalized story that you read it and you're like, Well, I don't really know what they... I got nothing out of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nothing to confirm that headline that a high percentage of people just looked at, and now they ran to their buddies, and they said it, and they said it, and they said it, and it kept going down the line, and that's how information gets tracked from person to person. That's not necessarily true.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and the biggest problem, of course, is that most news right now, and it's really another way of saying the same thing, most news right now isn't news. Most news is not there to keep you informed. If you watch a TV program, and yes, now I am talking about both of those channels. I'm talking about both of them. If you watch them and you find yourself feeling angry about those other people, or you find yourself feeling happy about that person we like, does the news program you watch make you feel strong feelings? Then it isn't news.
Yeah, it's true.
Period. If your news program makes you feel strong feelings and nobody was attacked in this country, it's not news. It's not news.
And that's and the older people listening may say, well, what's, you know, why are we doing this? And it's basic knowledge that, I mean, the old days of a physical newspaper, I mean, you had the headline, they had your quarter for the newspaper, and there's the headline and there's a story. Well, nowadays news, it is all they want. All they want from you is you to take your pointer finger onto that mouse and just click.
Yes.
That click. Whether you read anything beyond that click is dollars to them. It's money to them and to their advertisers.
Yep.
And it would be like a newspaper. It'd be like you picking up a newspaper. If you read the headline, and then if you read the story, the newspaper got another quarter.
Yep.
Got another quarter if you read the story and clicked on it. Yeah, it's disturbing. It really is.
Honestly, one of the only ways around it these days is to pay for news. And I'm not a big fan of that because there's just about everything you can get for free these days. But when you pay for news, your interest is your interest preserves the accuracy, you know? Like, if I'm paying for news and I get anything half foul, gone. I mean, if I'm not paying for news and I get anything half foul, I might keep it because it's free.
Yeah.
You know, and I would say I'll throw out free news that smells bad, but no, I won't. We don't. We don't smell out. We don't throw out the free news that smells bad. But yeah, if your news program has you feeling strong feelings, throw it out. And also, if you are getting daily updates on a topic that you say that you care strongly about, but the only interaction you have is arguments on the internet or that one 3-letter news update per day about it, you don't actually care about that thing and it doesn't matter to your life, put that news channel down, go start a garden. Go outside, shake somebody's hands. And I bet you after 2 hours of meeting somebody new, you'll have no idea what their political inclinations are because it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Let's actually start running this world and benefiting people. That was my topic of the day. Signs that your news program isn't news. First of all, if it's a news program, it probably isn't news. And that's a good start.
All right. I'd like to present something that was equally as disturbing to me over the weekend. My wife and I were traveling down to my mom's 85th birthday get together. It was a wonderful get together. And as we were listening to the radio and to a little bit of Spotify, I started to hear Christmas ads and I was a little bit irritated by that. Every year it happens. I know, but
I don't ask a lot for Christmas. There's just one thing I need. I don't care about no presents.
Mariah, take it away.
please, the Christmas ads and Christmas music. And if you're one of those people who enjoys Christmas music in October, well, you take your weird little brain and you go listen to your Christmas music in October.
See, that's the funny thing. I was trying to remember, when do we do Christmas music, Joel? I don't remember. Was it Halloween or was it Thanksgiving last year? There was a holiday and I don't remember which it was, and we might be in trouble starting next Monday.
I think it's usually right the day after Thanksgiving.
I think so too, but
it's usually the day.
There's this tiny part of my brain that said, did they play one on November 1st?
They might have slipped one in here or there.
We are they. I say they like it's not us.
Yeah, years ago you might have heard one in July. But that was a whole Brad Demlow, Scott Hahn thing that we won't talk about.
Oh boy.
I'm gonna loop back to sports just a little bit, but not a lot. I heard an interview last week with John Tesh. And if you know who John Tesh is.
The name sounds familiar.
He was a singer. Hosted Entertainment Tonight, I think, for a while back in the 80s. And he is a guy who composed the NBA theme song.
The Round Ball Rock.
Yeah, the Round Ball Rock. And he's done a lot of other stuff musically, too. But he has recreated that. for, I think, the NBA and for some other sports, too. And that's one thing I noticed about, and I was thinking to myself about sports, is that there's timeless music in sports. I mean, if you take a 1950s full orchestra band with the tuba going boom, 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 as Newt Rockne is running down the field, you know, and then the horns come in as Y.A. Tittle throws the ball, you know.
Boom, 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 boom.
There's something about the orchestrated old-time music with an NFL game that still flies today.
Yeah, well, you know, I was thinking about something very similar recently. You're very right. Those, I don't remember what we were watching. Rachel and I were watching something very briefly over the weekend. And I think what it actually might have been was more like a YouTube video about a movie. I don't remember what. But we were watching something a little bit older, I think from the 70s. And it was all instrumental music like that. There wasn't any synth on it at all. Mm-hmm. And I thought, that's really cool in a way, but it's also kind of limited because there are sounds that you just can't make with the tuba, trombone, and strings.
Right.
But at the same time, we spent so long with just that, and we all agreed that silence was a bad idea. So, like, we need this music to tell us how to feel about things that are happening. Like, we need the creepy music to tell us something bad's going to happen. I just think that they did so much that they kind of, not that they did everything they could, but they got film composers. They are film composers in this context. Film composers got so good with instrumentation that they could really relay just about any feeling, and it got ingrained, you know? We learned that instruments and music in that way are feelings. And I was like, that doesn't happen in today's media because I've just got a digital bonk sound that's right. Like, yeah, that's just negative.
Right.
You don't need a three-part minor key harmony to tell me complicated feelings are approaching, you know? But like, I missed that. It was so cool. And actually, we were watching the Harry Potter series because it's kind of Halloween-ish, Christmas-ish. And the sound design was standing out to me, specifically when we got to the third movie. And there's that, I think of it as the Peter Pettigrew noise when something kind of sinister happens on screen. They go, dun, 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 dun. Just kind of leave it.
Yeah.
And that wasn't in the first two movies, which had this super magical kind of renaissance-y feel. I think the director shifted on top of the actor for Dumbledore dying and a couple other things happened. Yeah. But it's like, I lost a couple things that were in the first two movies, but the sound design, it's like, yeah, please tell me how to feel with some strings.
And I had thought about this because back about 30 years ago when I worked in Minneapolis for a sports station that covered the Vikings, I remember one of the program directors said he had a CD and he said, let's play this old-time NFL music as bumpers in and out of our talk sets about the Vikings and our live reports from the stadium and stuff. And then 30 years later, I happened to listen to a Viking wine line, which is always very entertaining, any wine line after a game, and I heard the same bumper music 30 years later on the same station, and I thought, they're still using that same music. They come out of a commercial break, and it's dum 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 bum 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 bum. It's that old time, and it all fits. It all fits. It works.
I think just got to hang on to it for a generation, because like the next generation is going to be like, man, my dad used to listen to that stupid song, but then their generation is like, my grandpa used to listen to that song. I love it, you know? And it's like firearms. Wooden furniture, like wooden firearms are becoming popular again because of all the synthetics and stuff. So it's like, yeah, go grab your grandpa's dusty old shotgun. It's worth twice as much now because it's made out of wood. Like sometimes things just come back around. They're timeless.
And even the theme songs leading into football. Of course, Hank Jr. had it, of course, for a while, and then Carrie Underwood, and now Chris Stapleton has kind of an intro to one of the shows too. It doesn't see the Hank Jr. one is the one that when I hear that dun 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 dun, are you ready for some football? See, that's my development years, but now I understand Carrie Underwood. I worked all day for Sunday night or whatever the
waiting
song is.
Waiting all day for Sunday night.
Yeah. That's good. And when I first heard it, when she first started doing that, I was like, oh, come on. Carrie Underwood in place of Hank? What are we doing? But now I hear that song and I'm like, oh, football. Oh, yeah, yeah, good,
pass the baton,
good. Pass the baton, exactly.
It's going to stand out a lot when they change it. Who do you think is next? Who's next? Shaboozy? We're gonna have a riot. Chris hasn't been there long enough. He's got 5 or 6 years before they do that.
Yeah. All right. Good stuff today, Mr. Gunderson. If nothing else, you and I have done some good therapeutical stuff for our brains.
Yes.
Hopefully some other people did. We archived the gray area on our website, too, because our bosses asked us to, because they want to hear what we're doing. And so have a great Monday there, Gray.
Turn off the news. Build a garden.
All right. The news is coming up next here.
After this, turn it off.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Transform your bathroom.